Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Have you been seriously injured? Mama Justice is here for you. Our medical team partners with top-notch doctors, surgeons, therapists, and urologists, ensuring a comprehensive recovery journey. If you've been injured, call Mama Justice today. We're here for you.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thank you for listening today. That would be gracias, merci, danke, grazie. Yes, indeed, it would also be spasibo, diaku, and quite a few other wonderful words, dankjewel, tak, obrigato, as well as arigato.
Yeah, that's
salamat,
the,
come
song
on.
Is arigato, Mr. Mugato, or whatever?
All of that. Yeah. Today is National Thank You Day. Actually, it's International Thank You Day. And I'm here to tell you, there's nobody more thankful than me for your company this morning. Appreciate all of you tuning in today, listening to the rebroadcast, downloading the podcast, telling me how crazy I am when you get the clips from the show in my newsletter. All of those things are just tremendously my source of gratitude to you. Thank you very, very much. Good morning, Lance.
Good morning on this nice damp and cool
well, there is
morning.
That. Yeah. I attempted to see a meteorologist forecast more rain, and I just turned off the television and walked out. I don't care. Go ahead. Whenever that is, go ahead.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Well, I'm happy to say that my green onions, my parsley, and for some reason or another, the bubblegum petunia hasn't collapsed and died yet, but good morning, Ron from Ocean Springs. He's not in Ocean Springs today. Texting in this morning some pictures that make me glad I wore a sweater. I'm telling you what. Woo-wee. This is from Liston, Indiana, and it is snow-covered. Now, you don't have to go quite that far north, I understand, to get to the snow-covered part of the world. But for those of us who are down here complaining and moaning about cold rain, well, we probably ought to get over it because it's not snowing.
Just put on some good clothes.
More clothes. Yeah. Put on more layers.
I was telling you earlier, I have a...
You have an absolute panoply of warm weather gear today.
I need an NIL deal for what all I'm wearing today. I have like 8 different articles from 8 different manufacturers. My question would be, how many of these were made in the same factory, though?
Good question. Is it all winter wear?
Well, you've got Walmart socks, the Drake underpants, the Avery overpants, a Columbia vest on, a Old Navy scarf, bare normal company shirt, and then a Gap undershirt. So,
isn't that weird? Yeah. I couldn't even tell you who made my clothes. I would have to actually look at the labels to be able to tell.
I'm very pretentious. Yeah, everything I have is like very old. And
well, a classic, wonderful, warm scarf that I wore in today is the one that you gave me. So that will be with me forever because it's absolutely the best on a day like today.
Scarves, aren't they the best thing ever?
Love it.
Find a new way to wear a scarf about every week,
just to see what's going to happen next.
Just to see
exactly
what I can come up with next. I was wearing one the other day, like under everything, and it was barely coming out of my shirt. And somebody looked at me, they're like, "Man, I love
what
the way
you're doing?
Wearing that scarf, man." I was like, "Yeah, I mean, I want it on my skin. I don't want it around my jacket."
And that really is the difference because I want the windbreak. You're trying to insulate from the inside, and I'm trying to break the wind on the outside.
My neck cold. I mean, from being cold. Yeah, exactly.
You know what we gardeners do, of course, is to put up with a whole lot of conditions, some positive, some not so positive. And today is not a great day to do very many things in the garden, but there are a couple of things that you might want to consider taking a look at. If you've not already taken the photographs of your garden for the winter of this year, this is a good time to do that because you're just about looking at everything that is not evergreen, having lost its leaves. Now, because evergreen is one of those things that has several meanings in it as a word. One of them is permanent, long-lasting at very least. But I really like the idea that the evergreens are the stalwarts. They're the soldiers. The weather can't knock them down. And even when they're covered in snow, they have a beautiful form in the landscape. So I suggest that you take those pictures now and hang on to them, because you're going to want to do that. It's really important, too, folks, because guess what? It's about time to start pruning. Oh, my goodness. The questions in my email box, the issues coming up around just the grocery store. What am I going to do with this crepe myrtle? And you get this picture of this tree that's just magnificent, and my answer is nothing. But on the other hand, I get other pictures, and it's all those knobs and just a few seed pods and one thing and another. Well, we have some advice about that, and particularly if your crepe myrtle has had some issues, as they say, has had some sooty mold on it because of insect problems, or has not bloomed, or some of the other problems that we can have with this glorious tree, by all means, get in touch today. Texts and phone calls are always welcome, because you and your garden are the subject of this program, The Garden Mama Show. Yeah, I'm Nellie Neal. I'm here. I have lots of education. I have lots of experience, and I really do have lots and lots of opinions about gardening, things to do, things to not so much do. But I am never attempting to be let me put that backwards. I am always attempting not to be doctrinaire. That's the word of the day today. Doctrinaire really does mean that you are convinced that your opinions are the only ones that make any difference. Your ideas are the only ones that have merit. And your dismissal of everybody else makes you doctrinaire. It comes originally from some obscure and no longer existent French political party, which adhered to their particular set of ideas and could never find a way to compromise with anybody else. But you know individual people that are that way. They're not all necessarily wrong, but they don't encourage conversation. Here, absolutely, conversation is always encouraged. I will not dismiss your discussion. We may laugh together over the things that happened to us in the garden because, well, some of them are kind of funny. But at the same time, the conversation's never closed. I'm lucky enough to be here every Saturday. You're lucky enough to be kind to listen to me. But you can also get in touch with me, of course, through the week, mamaonair@yahoo.com, and also at Garden Mama Nellie and various sorts of social media things. The newsletter subscriptions are coming along for the year. Got a couple more weeks for folks to renew and put in new subscriptions. January is the month that I do that. So if you're tired of hearing about it, you can just go ahead and send me the $60 and I won't talk to you anymore. I'll just talk to everybody else, okay? It's a year of delivered emails to your email box on Friday. What's going on in my garden, what I think about what's going on in other people's gardens, and quite frankly, some ideas about what you might want to do in your garden this particular week. MamaOnAir@yahoo.com for that, too. Quick note for you folks that have been waiting for the Cross Gates Garden Club event to begin to start to happen. Look for your emails. It's going to happen on February 1st. I don't really know anything else about it, but I will be there. So that's a good thing. I'm going to enjoy that. Yesterday was Houseplant Appreciation Day, y'all.
I promoted. I told them to be listening and call us tomorrow.
I appreciate you doing that, because the funny AIs of houseplants bigger than people were all over the place yesterday. And I did have to pick one that the truck is so big and the man sitting on it is so small. If he didn't have normal proportions, you might be tempted to think it was an actual truck. It's not. It's AI. It's just funny. And Mark has sent us the non-dead Diefenbachia from his place in Brandon. It's really pretty. Green is lovely in the middle of the winter when everything else finally does get kind of brown, or in some cases even a little bit darker than that. In this snow world, I tell you what, if you got snow, send us some pictures, because that's fun. I appreciate you, Ron. I hope you got on good socks. That's all I can tell you. There are so many things to do in the garden in the winter. The folks who say, oh, well, we just sit and read seed catalogs in the winter, that's not us. In the South, zones 7, 8, and 9 in the USDA zones, this is prime time for getting ready. If you haven't already prepared the soil for the coming year, if you haven't already prepared the plant lists that you're going to either buy or start seed from. If you haven't got your seeds started yet, I'm encouraging you to do so. If you haven't got a compost heap made, if you happen to be tuning in today, I hope you are at supertalk.tv, you'll get to see the compost heap that in my back garden tends to be about the size of a Volkswagen. I dig out from the bottom of it. It is not as big as it was because we did a bunch of work last year. If you came to the garden tour there, you probably saw some of it turned into flower beds and whatnot. So I've been working on recovering that part of the garden. But if you're not making at least a leaf pile, you're wasting your time. I'm fond of saying, and I do say oftentimes, that, you know, if my neighbor, who is a brilliant man, if my neighbor had any indication of what was going on in the soil underneath his house, he would not put those leaves in the bag and put them on the corner for the trash to take away. That just wouldn't happen, because there's so much value to be had in those leaves. So we'll talk about that going on. Soil food web is on my mind today, certainly. But let's talk about pruning. I'm really very happy to tell you that I like to prune, but some people have absolute sheer fear. You get a new set of clippers, they look the same 5 years from now as they did when you unwrapped them, because you can't bring yourself to start cutting on plants. Now, the reverse is true, too, of course. Unfortunately, we've all got that one person in our family that just can't stop pruning. And unfortunately, they don't always know what I know or what you know about when to prune. For example, you're going to prune for a bunch of reasons. You're going to prune in some cases to simply maintain and encourage the plant's health. If you're not pruning fruit trees, for example, and then you call me in August and want to do something about the fact that your fruit is pulling the branches down to the ground and they're about to break, the answer is prop the branch up and prune it next January so that it doesn't do that. When we prune fruit trees and other plants that have that tend to bear heavily, sometimes it can even be a crepe myrtle, if your stems are weak and your flowers are heavy, the whole thing can look pretty sad, not to mention even breaking those branches. So give yourself the opportunity to understand which of your plants really just need maintenance pruning. That encourages them to grow happily. That also encourages you to be able to harvest happily if it's a fruit tree. We prune to control rampant growth in the wintertime. Sometimes, for example, you may have a shrub that looks perfectly good, but it has a tree seedling coming up through the middle of it. Well, this is the best time of year to get under there, get in underneath the shrub to where that little tree trunk is, and cut that stuff out of there. You can chop on it all year. You can prune it at the height of your shrub, but it's not going to do as much good to suppress it as it will do if you can do that in the winter. Sometimes we're pruning to show off the plant's beauty. I think about particularly next month when we begin pruning roses. We really do want to put those things where we can see them. And that's also true of crepe myrtles that we prune now. We have so many crepe myrtles that were originally intended to be 20-foot tall trees, but we use them in the landscape at about 12 to 15. So if you're not pruning them, well, particularly because they've been pruned for years and years, you end up with trees that don't look too good and may not even bloom. So that's one of the other reasons, is to show off their plant beauty, put it where you can see it, and encourage it to happen. It's also part of the same thing towards the greater flowering and the greater fruiting. If you don't prune, for example, apples, if you never ever prune sweet olive, you won't get as many flowers. You won't get as much beauty. And in the case of sweet olive, of course, you won't get the aroma that you're intending to have. I'm happy to say that there are buds on my sweet olive now. That's about timely. It generally blooms the first time in the year in February. And so I'm looking forward to that. It may beat the clock a little bit and start a little bit early if the weather cooperates, but we shall see. At that point, right after that winter bloom, is the time that I like to do a little bit of shaping on it, because it will bloom several times during the year, but it does need to be shaped, or at least have branches back into the canopy. Sometimes they will send out one branch that's much bigger than you want it to be. I got to tell you, the biggest reason perhaps in my world for pruning plants is because it gives me such great joy to see them respond. And I don't care what it is. If it's thinning carrots, you know, that's really a form of pruning. If you are cutting back the flowers and watching the new one develop on a perennial, all of those things are actually different forms of pruning. But think about it this year. Keep your tools sharp. Keep your head in the right place. Know what you're pruning and what needs to happen to it, and you'll have better outcomes. There are Rose rules, and I will get to them next time. We're going to talk about them in February. And it's important for us to know just how much to prune of the roses and really which ones not to prune at all. If you grow some of the antique roses, there's some that just do not need pruning. And one of those that I love is Archduke Charles. It's also true, though, that the butterfly rose doesn't need very much pruning, if any at all. So keep those things in mind, and don't be too sheer happy. Don't get out there and start chopping on things that don't need to be cut back. I think that's an important piece of the puzzle. Let's see, Paula. Oh, my goodness. That's a really nice one. And no, it doesn't look like me. I'm not anywhere near that sweet. I do like her pink dress, though. That's kind of attractive. Anyway. Of course, to plant a garden is to believe in tomorrow. I am one of those people that at this time of year has a couple of cartoons that I like to refer to from years and years back. One of them are these little creatures sitting on a corner, and one says to the other, "Oh, I don't know what's going to happen this year." And the other one says to the other, "Well, I'm going to grow flowers. What are you going to do?" So then that's really part of it. I know there's going to be flowers because I'm going to grow them. I know there's going to be lettuce because I'm going to grow it. I know there's going to be, you fill in the blank, because you're going to do that. And I'm going to tell you this because I would be remiss if I did not get into this just for a moment today. California's on fire. My friends, dear friends are not in the immediately affected area, but they're still in Los Angeles County, and they're still packed up and ready to go, okay? They have to be. Just like when we have a hurricane, we have to be packed up and ready to go. And it is astounding to me how much food and how many products in gardening and horticulture we get from Southern California. And you think, well, this is just LA County. That's true. But that's where a lot of suppliers are. That's where a whole lot of infrastructure exists for our industry. And it's going to be tough. I've been to that area. I know how closely tied all those things are. For example, if you ordered flowers from somewhere, the chances are good they might have had to go through the Pasadena airport because they didn't go through the LA airport. All right, well, that's not going to be happening. There are a lot of pieces of that puzzle. For me, it comes down to this. We need to know what our friends are facing, but we need to be smart. We may want to start growing more plants here ourselves for ourselves, but also maybe to sell in the region. And trust me, you need to grow yourself some vegetables. Just like this fella's going to tell you coming up right here. We'll be right back. Seeds I saw, someone warned them from below, till the rain come tumbling. And picking stones, we are made of dreams and bones. I feel the need to grow my own, cause the time is close at hand.
Time is close at hand.
Rain for rain, sudden rain, I'll find my way in.
Superior, it's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish. Then there is Superior Catfish.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Hey, this is Bob.
Hey,
It's fun to watch him dance, but he won't turn the camera on himself.
They catch me Monday through Friday, so yeah, got to be up early.
Well, you know, I'm from the same gene pool as Janis Joplin, and basically the same era. And I'm glad I made wiser choices than she did about some things. But I really wish I could have sung like that.
Oh man, I'd be a multi-millionaire.
Seriously.
Triple platinum-selling artist.
But there's always that balance, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works out, and sometimes you end up being that person. So, beautiful, beautiful singer. She actually, by the way, y'all, in case you didn't know this, she could, in fact, sing that didn't sound like she was screaming. There was a lot of songs that she sang. The ones that got popular are the ones that sound like she's screaming, but she actually had a beautiful voice right on top of all of that. So, that's kind of cool in and of itself. Really, really good question, and I'm going to send you a couple of links. Jimbo's got the situation that a whole lot of people have had in the last couple of years. Jimbo has removed 15 dead pine trees from behind the fence. And so now what? What do we do now? He said he will plant azaleas. Okay, I'm for some azaleas. But I have a lot of other suggestions. What other options, though? I'm really going to emphasize, I'm going to send you some plant lists that come from MSU Cares because they do a real good job. I'm going to send you the list of the ones that are native because they're going to be the ones that are going to be much easier to deal with once they're in place. And, excuse me, when we have a choice in this kind of setting, I'm always going to go for a mixed hedge. The reason for that is twofold. First of all, it's prettier. It's more interesting all year long. And we all know that I want you to have something fun to look at the whole year. I don't want it to be 2 weeks of azalea flowers and then just green blobs the rest of the year. Not that we don't like green blobs. We do. But if we could also have, for example, Itea that blooms sooner and some things, St. John's wort, some things that bloom later, it would be a better combination for you. So once you know what the choices are, you can begin to look at things and see what you actually like. I do think also that a combination of trees and shrubs is a good suggestion for this because it has been pine trees. It's probably going to be an area that you would like a little height. So if I had a space, say if I had 20 feet, 40 feet, or probably every 10 feet I would put a tree, and in between I would put shrubs. So then it's consistent, it looks beautiful all year long and for different reasons, and at the same time you can repeat the trees that you have on the other parts of your property perhaps, or other shrubs that you have, so then you've got a kind of a continuation of your design. But I will send you, Jimbo, a couple of links for you to look at some plant choices, okay? It's really always a good idea to look before you purchase. And sometimes your source, your plant source, may have exactly what you're looking for, and sometimes they may not. And if you know what else there is, they, for example, may be able to help you order something, or they may be able to give you another place to get it, or they may send you on a mission. I had someone get in touch with me this week. I'll go anywhere, she said. I need strawberry plants. She's a little further south than me, but still in Zone 8. Well, just as happenstance, our friend and colleague Alan Owings posted up from Clegg's Nursery in Baton Rouge that they have strawberry plants. So I sent that to her, and she said, you know, I wanted to go there and have dinner anyway. So she's going to go over and get that. But the point is that if you can get into a loop with other gardeners and other places, you'll find what you're looking for. Oftentimes, though, it is that first contact that you have in your hometown that will help you with locating some of those sources. And that can be, I mean, I'm always happy to help. No question about that. All right, now, let's see. Paula, that's so cute. I do love that picture. Does it matter what tool you use to prune with, saws versus loppers? There's some wonderful battery-operated hand saws out there. May I just say, the Sawzall and I are good friends.
I was going to say, the Sawzall does an amazing job.
Does a lot of things. Now, if it's smaller, if I'm going to use a lopper if it is the size of my finger around, because I can make a cleaner cut and I'm not as likely to cut something next to it. I can do more precise things with a lopper. But if it's bigger than my loppers, and I've got big loppers, but my hands and my arms are not as strong as they once were, yours may not be either. You might be a smaller person than me. In that case, that Sawzall is your friend. And I also like a folding saw. It's a deeply serrated saw that will fold into its own case. And when you find yourself in a place where you just absolutely can't get through the thicket or through, you know, there's all kind of viney stuff, that's a really good tool for that. But I have no problem with battery operated, particularly a Sawzall, that kind of thing. That's fun. Those are my friends.
Did you get the cleanest cut you can, right?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Always try to slant your cuts away from the center of the plant. And the idea is that the water will then run out away from the center, and it's not going to get too wet or in some cases produce ice at the crown of something that would be a problem. So we're doing for strength, we're doing for looks, and we're also doing for the practicality of a better growing plant. All of that helps. Absolutely. We do love our saws.
I have so many different types of saws. Hand saws, pipe saw, metal saw, Sawzall. Circulating saw, the one you were just mentioning, the, you know,
folding saws.
No, the electrical one you were.
Oh, Sawzalls.
Yeah, I love a Sawzall. And then the multi tool.
Oh, now we can go there.
That's coolest thing ever. I mean, I can't tell you. I mean, how much I love a multi tool.
Well, I just had to put aside electric hedge trimmers. I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah, that's a whole other knife.
That's a whole nother set of knives. Mm. And if you have big hedges, I don't anymore, so that's why that's headed away. But there is a tool for everything. And if you find, for example, I guess one of the first things that I ever heard my father shout in anger, because he didn't do that much, was, "You're going to break my lopper," because I was trying to cut something too big with it.
Yeah.
So don't do that.
I remember my dad, he got a brand new steel angle head about 2 years ago, hedge trimmer. And he has some hedges that run about 50 yards, and they're 7 feet high.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
And he was getting on a rickety wooden ladder, leaning in. I'm like, no, quit doing this. So I talked to his wife. I said, look, next, you know, gift giving time, grab the steel.
Let's do this.
Battery. I mean, I'm using the heaviest thing, gas powered. And my dad, let's go with easier.
Yeah, let's make this
easier.
So he
gets it, and the first time he takes it out there, he tries to cut something too big on it, and it pops one of the teeth.
Sure.
But he was able to, you know, get that fixed.
But that is, we overwork our tools.
You overwork them. I mean, the moment you go, oh, I got this baby now. Yeah, let's try it out. There are limitations.
There are limitations.
Even with a steel product, there are limitations.
Well, any tool is built for a particular use if it's a good tool. And sometimes, frankly, they're underbuilt. But you can generally go with a name that you've ever heard of or good reviews of a particular brand you might not have heard of and all that sort of thing. We can get into whose batteries are better, but I'm not going to do that today. We'll leave that to Buddy and the Handyman Show. But there are people with very serious opinions about it. Some of them are quite doctrinaire. But the rest of us just want the one that's going to work for that particular use for that particular time. We had similar discussion this week with a couple of friends about what we're going to do in the lighting department. Her bulbs were burning out, and she wanted to know what the latest thing in garden lighting was, you know, indoor supplemental lighting was. And so, of course, I had to send out my opinions, which immediately two other people disagreed with. That's why we have conversations. No question. The Ray, that is so you. This is so smart. Reagan Clinton's mother didn't like to prune. So, of course, she was a big gardener, and she made him prune, called him the mad whacker, and got him out there, sent him out there because she didn't have the heart to do it. I have known people like that. As long as they don't complain about the result, that's fine. If you complain about the result, that is known as passive-aggressive behavior. Oh, I don't do that. Please do that for me. Oh, you did it wrong. No, don't do that. That's not the way to act around human beings. They won't come prune anything for you.
My mom, I told you all that story. My mom did that with the vacuum cleaner. You're the best vacuumer of all. Oh, my God, you're so good at it. I mean, I was just a little bitty thing, dragging the electric lux around.
Of course.
No, you're the best.
You're great.
You know, never told me how to do it. It's just, you're the best. Oh, God, I'm going to let you do it. And I was so excited when she'd say, you can do it.
Do
now vacuuming, it's not as exciting, but I do feel like I'm good at it.
I should have tried that reverse psychology on the lawn mowing at my house, but it didn't work out that way.
Oh, you're the best at it. Oh, my goodness.
Instead, I would be like, oh, you missed over here. No, that was not the right thing to say. Ah, the hellebores are setting their buds. Now, let me see. This is in Madison. Now, if you don't know what hellebores
are. Yeah, I don't. I was about to look it up.
Those are Lenten roses. Lenten roses are, they're a whole bunch of hellebores. But we grow Helleborus orientalis this far south. The others grow farther north, and they're magnificent. They bloom for months in the winter. It's magnificent. Literally, one plant will put its flowers on and bloom from Christmas through Lent. That's partly why they're called Lenten roses.
They seem like they have no limitation as to the color schemes.
They're just beautiful.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
They're just beautiful. They survive the buds. And she says, thank you for the timely pruning information. You're very welcome about that. I'm ready to bravely go into the garden. Go for it. You can do it. That's the thing. The other piece of pruning, of course, is always, you can always, it's like cutting your hair. You can always take off more, but you can't put it back. So prune slowly, step back and look. Prune a little bit more and step back and look again. Or, and I've done this more than once in my life, I will actually tie things where I want the height to come down to. I'll tie something up on the top of, for example, the vitex, because I realize that it's hitting the tree above it, but I've still got to shape it for the rest of the space that it occupies. So if I put I put a little flag on the top where I want to start, and I prune that one, but then I can't reach that. I'm like your dad on the ladder, bad idea, but I'm going to do it. So then I have to go around and make everything else come to that space. And sometimes that's the easiest way, because again, you can't put it back, but you can take a little bit more off when you need to. That's why pruning's so much fun.
I honestly love pruning on the crepe myrtles because as they, like you said, they grow so tall and magnificent if they're shaped. Yeah. And then they'll grow in any direction you allow them to.
And
they get a little, spiny and grab you and all that. But as they grow up and then they start spilling over, it's almost like a waterfall or a mist coming over.
It can be.
We have three like that.
And beautiful.
Absolutely beautiful. So, yeah, I'm a big fan. I love being selective with the, when you're looking at those and pruning. Roses, though, that's the one that it's kind of a love-hate relationship because you get stuck so many times.
Part of that is that we have to go for, as President Lincoln said, without the thorns, there wouldn't be any roses.
Yeah.
So we got to get through this.
That's
it is very true that not every rose is pruned the same way. Even though we consider them one group of plants, they're not really the same. As soon as you know what you have, then you know how to prune it. And you sort of have to suit up and for some of the thorny ones.
And don't sharpen a knife and go try to do it like your papaw would. My papaw just grab stuff with a knife in his thumb and cut it. My mamaw would.
And then bring that knife back in my kitchen. No.
I tried it, and I'm just bloody everywhere. Like,
you've ruined yourself.
This is great news.
Paula has a flower on her peace lily. I have to tell you, mine has been really, I'm going to have to move it up, I'm afraid, because it's so thick in its container. It has grown beautifully well, but I don't have any flowers yet, so I'm very jealous. I think that's delightful.
I love the way they start. It's almost like a little fold
of
paper.
Space.
Know it's coming.
Yeah.
I see you down there.
Hello there.
Wisp of smoke, looks like. Yeah.
So much fun. And that's really what we're doing when we talk about all this pruning, is we're just looking for that next piece of new growth, that next, what's it going to do now, that stuff.
When should the roses? I mean, if you did deadhead them and you did take them back a little bit before the really cold snap, after the most of your blooms are gone, when should we expect to see the roses,
Well, we're going to do heavier pruning in February.
Okay.
The reason we do that is because roses are our friends to a certain extent, but on the other hand, they're really their own thing. A good example is mermaid rose. Mermaid is one of the most beautiful one-time blooming climbing roses in the universe. It's also 20 feet tall on its canes and has more thorns per square inch than anything in the world. So people who understand that plant put it next to a garage, and go up on the roof and hook up a couple of things to pull the canes up and just let it grow there and take over. And it's beautiful every year for the rest of its life. But if you put that mermaid on a trellis in your backyard, you will seriously learn words that you did not know before, because you will be so angry with that
Yosemite
plant.
Sam's,
you will literally, you will yours. Seriously, really hate that plant in no time at all. That's absolutely true. Oh, we're going to get some more of the little women action today. Appreciate that. Do you know what? We got some music coming in this spring. He doesn't know this yet. That's not quite as old. And I'm hoping that y'all are not going to be mad at me. So just stick around.
Got to keep it fresh.
The world is fresh, and so are we. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you.
Seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot. They took all the trees, put them in a tree museum, and they charged the people $1.50 just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't?
Thank goodness I don't sing out loud.
They charge $1.50 just to see them.
They do. They do. Here's the thing. You think about this and you think, well, it's how many times have you heard people quote John Lennon in the last few years? You are what you eat. You know, see about January particularly. Get your diet together. Get your health plan together. Get your balance intact. All those sorts of things. That when he made that song and talked, you know, you are what you eat, everybody was just like, ooh. Joni Mitchell wrote this song. People said, that'll never go anywhere. Nobody's ever going to, that's just ridiculous. Of course, it was a huge hit for her. And it is something that people with a certain level of environmental awareness and love of trees have really hooked onto. We're, now that we have gone all the way to the other end of things and we're trying to make water permeable parking lots and things that do not, in fact, reflect nothing but heat and create problems that in that sort, things you can still park on, she sort of looks prescient. And I think a lot of times poetry and art will do that for us if we're fortunate, if we pay attention. So off of the soapbox now. I won't talk about that anymore. We asked which one.
Yeah.
Got to be one of the most annoying songs ever. And Bobby McGee, we're going to play that every
week.
I'm going
to play it every break now, just because
really
I love our listeners
really
so much.
We love you. Thank you for saying something. That just tickles us. You have no idea.
Honesty's the best policy.
That's exactly right.
That's the way it is in garden. Your plant ain't going to lie to you.
The plant's going to tell you the truth, and you may not like it, but it is sometimes going to be even better than you could have imagined.
The truth will set you free.
Chris Christopherson and me and Bobby McGee. Those are just. I realize it's a weird one, but if you can get past the, I promise you, she could sing besides screaming. I have to promise you that.
Well, it was a great little bit on.
And of course, it's bad English. You know, me and Bobby McGee just offends all the English majors.
Yeah, well, somebody will correct you and say, you know, you and I know it's you and me and all that. I'm like, I don't even remember. It's my vernacular. You know, I get confused on that one.
This is the truth.
You're an English person.
This is the truth. Part of in my life as a writer, I have been told that I write too friendly, too conversational for somebody with as much education as I have. I don't have a serious enough set of languages. Well, I can do that, but if I put that word in there, if I put in doctrinaire, I'm going to make sure in the next phrase I tell you what it means, because I'm not trying to tell you that I'm smarter than you. I'm not trying to tell you that I know more words than you do. I'm trying to say, here's what I want to talk about, and I want you to understand what I'm talking about, whoever you are. You may, and so therefore, people that are more full of themselves and their language would tend to think that I was a little too conversational. Well, guess what? 20 years later, that's what people want to read, is conversational. I learned in the 90s how to write for the internet, which is essentially the same thing as classic journalism, who, what, when, where, and why. But you have to recognize that as they cut, they're going to cut from the bottom, so you may not always get to the why. The editor may leap up to the next thing. You can't put your biggest idea as a conclusion. You have to put it at the top of the whole story, or nobody will get to see it. And that's so true in the internet world of writing. Yeah. And then you got to work. And I'm fascinated by watching AI. Is the reason that I bring this to you today is because AI doesn't do that.
No.
AI is a whole bunch of jumble. So if you start reading something and it reads like a jumble, it doesn't read like the clarity that you're expecting, it probably wasn't written by a person. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there'll be a word in there or two that just doesn't fit.
It's like the six-finger drawings.
Yeah.
You know?
The hands don't look right.
It's not quite.
I remember a professor of mine in college. And, you know, I wanted to be a history professor, and they totally turned me off because of my writing style. You know, I grew up on Shakespeare and Milton and all those, you know, the great poets, and I learned my skills that way and really tried to mimic that in writing. You get into, like, history and political science, and they want you to, you know, it's supposed to be like cardboard.
That's,
you know,
true.
They don't want any sriracha flavoring
there,
on it.
There,
you know,
is
on your
not.
Cardboard.
That is true.
And I'd be like, I'd argue with this guy. I'm like, but you don't want me to make the what we're writing about interesting. You want no one to read this, is what you're telling me, other than
fact
other
recording.
Academics.
Yeah, fact recording.
But while, you know, so yeah, it kind of turned me off. Like, if that's all I'm going to do is, you know, break apart someone else's.
And luckily, that's not the way.
That's not the way
of the world so much anymore.
Yeah. But 20 years ago, yeah, I mean, it was kind of forcing you into that. Think this way. Write this way. Do that. When I'm like, nah,
we are not as full of ourselves in terms of language. Truly, the whole business of whether it's you and I and you and me doesn't matter to anybody anymore. Mm-hmm. And people will put themselves first, me and you, you know.
Right.
And so Bobby McGee brings us all of that.
Well, she is more important than Bobby McGee. I don't know this Bobby McGee guy, but I know who she was. So it's apropos for her to go with
the truck driver, but I'm not really sure about that. Yeah. We were told that.
Yeah, I don't mind her putting me first, you know.
That's fun. That's really crazy stuff.
Well, we got another one, you know.
Ah, oh, there you go.
Carole King. Love her. Such a good one.
Yeah. Mm. Y'all are really going back and forth on this. I'm leaving that one alone.
What was this?
I just don't, just a strange notion about things I don't want to talk about. So okay. I'm gonna let you and that particular listener continue that conversation. just so y'all know that I'm not entirely here just to carry on and raise sand today, I'm right now sending Jimbo these two links. And Jimbo, if there's more you want, just let me know. I'll be more than happy for you to get that info from me. And if you don't get an email from me, let me know, and I'll know that something else has happened. Do you know what I figured out this week? I went to look for an article, and it's not in my archive, and it's not in my computer. It's in my other computer. It's in my computer I don't use anymore. And I thought I moved all that stuff out of there. Check on all those things, friends. January is a good time to do that. You may be looking for something you wish you could find.
Vitex is obviously a beautiful tree. Is there a restriction to where you would put that plant, that tree? Because I've got a spot or two that I've been looking at. What do I do with that? And, you know, it looks like it will brush out pretty good.
They're not as reliable as crepe myrtles in terms of their form, mm-hmm. but you can certainly shape them in the way that you want. They take a little bit more work. The main thing about buying a Vitex is to make sure that you get one that has already been trained to one trunk,
okay.
and that the flowers are going to be the color you want. Because the seedlings from these things are popular, but they make a thicket.
Uh-huh.
And that's nice, but it's not a tree. So, and the tree's going to have more flowers in a smaller, in the same space.
There's a couple of very nice gardening and plant landscaping places in the neighborhood. I lived all the way down to obviously Lakeland Yard and Garden and others. When you go in, what are you asking for? Like, you know, if I want to say, hey, I want a Vitex, mm-hmm. but I want it to be one trunk trained.
Do you have a chase tree that is grown by variety and is in at least a 3-gallon pot?
Okay, cool. 3 gallons.
Because it's going to take that to get it. It would have to have been moved up.
Mm-hmm. So if I don't want to wait too long for it.
Yeah, if you don't want to have to train it yourself.
Yeah. So a 3-gallon pot. Is that fairly common to find something?
Yeah, 3 to 5.
Okay,
yeah.
So 5 wouldn't be a problem either if I wanted to go up a year in growth or
that's
so.
That's fine.
Okay.
You're just looking for the one that has some maturity to it so you can tell how it's actually going to look. You still have to manage them.
Oh, yeah. But how deep do you want to go when you drop that baby in? Is it going to be basically pot height?
You want it to be as deep as it was growing in that container, but you want to prepare the hole a little bit deeper and wider.
Right. And make sure it's soft and able to expand its roots. Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's one I've been eyeballing going, I
love
I like
them. Get a blue or a purple.
Yeah, I like
the
purple.
Don't come dig up one of my seedlings because they're real pale and the bees love them. Bees don't care. But I wanted a more dramatic tree in the front yard.
Yeah, this is a backyard corner that I would have about
half a day of sun.
Well, that would be perfect, yeah.
Yeah, you can do that. All right, now, the earth's moving. We got to go. Stick around. We got a lot of talking to do here on the Garden Mama Show.
See your face, mellow as the month of May. Oh, darling, I can't stand it when you look at me.
Are you looking for a contractor for your new home or remodel? Go licensed. Unlicensed contractors may try to convince you that pulling your own permit can save you money, but they may do shoddy work, or in some cases, no work at all, costing you far more in the long run. Protect yourself and your investment by comparing estimates from 3 licensed contractors. Remember, go licensed.
For more information, contact the Mississippi State Board of Contractors at msboc.us.
Are you a business owner looking for help with HR benefits and payroll? MWG Employer Services offers a wide range of services and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget.
I was so overwhelmed with HR stuff. MWG Employer Services took all the stress out of it and even set up my payroll. I couldn't be happier.
MWG Employer Services is here to help you succeed. Call us today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
We've sent that rip.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Can she write and talk at the same time? Yes, actually.
And chew gum.
No, probably that's one thing too many. Couldn't tap my toe either to a good song. That would be difficult. This is interesting. We're talking about Vitex again from the last hour, back and forth over this conversation about how to pick one out. And yes, she's got a seedling in a container, so she wanted to know about the thicket habit. You know, it's kind of like deciduous ilex or deciduous holly. A thicket can be a very nice thing. It just needs it needs a place where it can be allowed to do that. For example, Lance wants to plant a Vitex in the back corner of his yard. Now, I don't know about the back corner, but if it's a corner, it's probably not a terrible place for a thicket. On the other hand, what he's looking for is something to be able to be seen. So you look back there and you have a focal point, you know, a destination kind of thing. So that's going to be a tree. So I think that that's really the difference. A thicket might be perfectly wonderful for the bees, and if I had a space maybe 10 feet wide that, you know, didn't need anything else going on, a Vitex thicket would be a lovely thing to have there.
Half a day worth of sun.
At least.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I can pull that off.
All right, mine gets morning sun and goes into shade like after lunch sometime, because that's when the sun goes over the house.
But that's good enough for it?
Yeah, it's not full sun.
Well, we do have a call from Anna. She was listening in, heard us talking about pruning, and wanted to get in the conversation.
Good morning, Anna. I was thinking about...
Good morning.
When I saw the snow forecast for Oxford, I was thinking about you.
Well, it's... I would say it was bad, but yet it wasn't that bad. I lived in Chicago 27 years, so I think I know
this
a little bit
this
about
is
it.
Nothing. Yeah.
But it was funny because the kids were all, we've got a few hills in the park here, and the kids were there, but it doesn't last long because it's kind of slushy. And
not much fun.
But now I was you're talking about Vitex and other plants. My mother was a person who could put we heard this before, stick a pole in the ground and it would flower.
Yeah.
I guess I picked up one of her habits, and that is, like with Vitex and Rose of Sharon and a few other plants, as you're pruning, don't just throw it away.
Oh, they'll root. Absolutely.
Stick it in the ground. And every year I go to Master Gardeners and I got a handful of Rose of Sharon. Do you want blue or do you want white? You
love that. Yeah, perfect. And that is a thing. We don't think about it. We can do that with figs, too, when we prune them, which is another thing that needs to be pruned this month. They are ready to go. It's not that they aren't dormant. They are, but they're as dormant as they get here, which is to say they're much more likely to grow roots than they are shoots.
Well, you know, roses, that's another one.
Yeah, the roses will do as well.
Yeah, and I'm just trying to think, my mind went blank. Native hydrangea?
Well, we do prune it after it blooms, and that one is also a good one.
Hydrangea.
We do prune limelight in the winter, and those are pretty easy to root, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And in fact, just before winter started, I some oak leaf hydrangea, it was kind of, you know, leggy. So I cut a couple off, and I thought, well, I've got this pot of earth, I'll just stick it in there. And now I've got a little tiny oak leaf hydrangea, and it's still got its leaves, even though it's, 30 degrees out here.
They're very hardy plants. They are.
Yes.
You know, one of the things we don't appreciate enough about them, not only will they grow in areas that oftentimes are a little bit on the shady side for other flowering shrubs, but oak leaf hydrangeas also have that incredible hardiness. They're very tough. Very, very tough.
Yeah.
And that's, we kind of take them for granted, you know?
Well, and also, don't forget, crepe myrtle will do it real easy.
Yeah, that is true. So maybe that's why we have so many of them.
You can't kill them. But, no, it was interesting. Well, not interesting. We've had a couple of dying or dead trees come down.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, it missed the house, but it took down half of a crepe myrtle.
Mm.
Now, I'm interesting because it kind of shaved the trunk. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in the spring.
As long as that tree is not where it can fall on you or your house unexpectedly.
Well,
that's good.
You know the old expression, if a tree falls in the forest? Well,
there's no one there.
Inside the house. Yes, we were inside the house, and it went whoomp.
Yeah, yeah.
And the dog started barking, and everybody started barking.
When there's a hazard, I heard the tree limb bounce off of my car, too. It did way too much damage to it. But if the tree itself is a dangerous, a hazardous tree, which one that has half its bark off is a problem, if it's going to fall on something, you do need to consider taking it down, or at least taking it down to where it's not going to fall on the house.
Well, we never knew.
It's a very difficult... No, I mean now. Anna, what I'm saying to you... Anna, what I'm saying to you is that the tree is damaged now, and so if it's
it's gone.
If it's gone, that's
but
good.
The crepe myrtle, It's kind of spindly, so it wouldn't hurt anything.
Well, that's good then.
But it was the branches and that came to the crepe myrtle and kind of sliced out part of the trunk.
I mean, none
of my crepe myrtle is that big.
I have spent a lot of time in my life trying to persuade people that the tree that sort of came back up or only got half of it knocked off or only has a few borers and that kind of stuff, that if it's next to your house, it's going to fall down and it probably won't fall away from the house. There's so many hazards we have to put up with. It's incredible.
Yeah. Last year or 2 years ago, we lost half a magnolia tree. Mm. And, yeah, it was the twiggy parts that landed on the roof.
Yeah, yeah.
The rest of the tree should probably come down, but it's a magnolia.
Yep,
it's and if it can
cause a bigger problem by falling on you, then it's time to take it down.
Actually, it would fall right where I'm sitting right now because I'm in my bedroom sewing some. Darning some socks, let's put it that way.
If you're darning socks, my hat is off to you because, my goodness, that's a nice thing to be doing on a chilly morning. But if the magnolia tree can fall on your house, please be careful. Please get it seen to.
I'm not going to be gardening, but I can maybe rescue a few socks. And it was great talking to you. A happy new year to you and Lance.
Take care of yourself. I look forward to hearing from you as the year goes on, Anna. Take care. Well, this is an interesting question. When do you prune pear and plum trees? That would be now. Oh, my goodness. And if you would like a diagram of what you're supposed to be doing, that's another thing you can find at msucares.com, or you can get in touch with me and I'll send you some pictures. What we're trying to do when we prune, particularly pears and plums at this time of the year, and they do need to be pruned, we're trying to make sure that we've got nice, strong, sturdy canopies. That's why sometimes we're going to prune more off of those side branches than we really want to. We think, oh, all that whole side branch, that can make some wonderful flowers and some wonderful fruit. Yes, and then the fruit can weigh the branch down and break the whole thing off your tree. So you don't want that. You're looking for that balance of sturdy and at the same time able to bloom. And because they do begin to bloom in February, you need to do that pruning in January. Really, really fun stuff. Beautiful plants.
All right, what's darning socks? I have no idea.
Aw. Socks used to be harder to get. And because they were harder to get and probably you had a favorite pair, there are things called darning eggs. And I actually have one at my house. It is an antique. It has no use whatsoever in my world. But thank you, Anna, for bringing it up to us because it's a method of repairing the holes that inevitably fall into socks. The darning egg goes under the sock and then you sew it on top of that. It's a way to position the sock so that you can sew it and get the weave back together so that you can use it for another 10 years or so.
Really?
You're not going to take it up, huh?
I have a couple of pair of like really good socks that I've had for 20 years.
Well,
and the heel.
They might need some attention.
Darning.
They might need some darning.
Yes.
That's right. It's not a bad thing to do at all. It tends to the holes in my socks tend to be in the toes, and so I have been known to try to sew them up a couple of times, but I've never done. I don't actually.
Thin ones of mine I'll poke through on like the dressier socks, but the heavier duty ones seem to wear in the heel more. I think it's my left side.
It's basically the same technique as learning to reweave. If you've ever seen anybody do that on a piece, like for example, a wool jacket, I have a friend who's doing and learning to do this, and she has learned to do this, but she's in upstate New York, so they have a lot of wool. and you basically are taking the warp and the weft and putting it back together.
What now?
The string that goes one way and the string that goes the other way.
Thank you.
One that goes across and
now
the one that goes up and down.
Now you're talking my language.
And you're weaving them back together.
Okay.
And you're doing that with darning too, but darning hooks and darning needles and all that.
All right. I love this show because that's what we do here. I get learnt every Saturday. But no, thank you, Anna, for bringing that up. Yeah, I love
thing,
that.
You know?
Yeah, no, that's super cool.
This is great. Oh, I love this. I had mentioned this person was writing to me about pruning Peggy Martin roses. And I said, you know, my trellis is actually a round hog wire that's about 3 feet across it at its widest point because it's such a vigorous rose. And we do prune them in springtime. But when we prune Peggy Martin and any other blooming rose that blooms, climber that blooms more than once, if you prune them in the wintertime, what you're trying to do is contain them to the trellis. So that's, again, it's a case where you might prune Mermaid in the winter if you could get to it for all the thorns. But you're really trying to keep it on the trellis. And you're also getting rid of the canes that come up at the ground level that are just wimpy because they're not going to do well, and they're actually going to take away from the ones that can bloom. So those are the two things that we're doing. She sent a picture, they sent a picture of this magnificent structure. It's 2x4 wire mesh, and then it's on the stakes that we use for chicken wire, so it's holding them up and making a really solid place for it. It's just beautiful up against their fence. Really perfect. I love that. And I will send you those pictures to, I can't read it from here, but to your email address. That's easy. That's fun. Wow, so much going on today. There are so many things that I want to talk to you about. While we're on the subject, if you have not inspected your crepe myrtle trees yet, please do so. There is always an opportunity to take better care of them. And we have two big problems. One is simple insects, and one are complex insects. And by that I mean, if you stand under your crepe myrtle tree in the summertime and you feel like it might be misting or raining, only it's not, that is, in fact, the honeydew from the teeny tiny little insects that are up in the top feeding on the leaves of the canopy. Probably aphids, usually, most of the time. Could be other things. But they are a problem. They're not a huge problem, though, because you can control them. If the tree is short enough to spray, there are plenty of opportunities to control it with a spray that happens 3 times in 8-day intervals. Anything like neem will take care of the problem. But we also have the introduction of ladybugs because they love aphids more than they love you and me. So they will be happy to take care of the ones on your tree if you just let them. Now, on the other hand, we have crepe myrtle bark scale. Crepe myrtle bark scale is a non-native scale. It affects crepe myrtles. It is a huge pest. It produces that honeydew, but in fact, it produces the sooty mold on top of it in thicker and deeper layers, and it all happens on the bark. Not all, but it happens on the bark, whereas the sooty mold from your aphids will be up in the canopy of the tree on the leaves. These are going to be on the bark and on the stems, and then eventually the whole thing's going to proliferate, and you will see the white mass that is the scale coming out from around it. It's ugly. It's debilitating to the tree. It not only causes branch dieback and lack of flowering, but it gives you big, big trouble in terms of stunting the actual growth of the plant. There are a couple of choices about this. If it's a tree that you're not that crazy about, I'm really in favor of just replacing it with a better variety that is more suited. But if you can allow some of the natural enemies to get in there and take care of it, you'll have a little bit more work done for you by the positive influences that you can introduce. There's a whole list of these things. I'll be happy to send them to you if you would like me to. But the point is, make a decision about that crepe myrtle now. Don't go through pruning it and fertilizing it and then realize that you didn't want to keep that tree. It's time to make those decisions now. And crepe myrtle bark scale can really be one of the reasons why. I always appreciate anybody that's going to let me know about more positives, and that not all of the positives, frankly, in the crepe myrtle world. Sometimes it really is a matter of a simple thing like a ladybug. Other times it's ones that we need to introduce and be a little bit more careful with. So all of those things can work for you. Daisies for weeks, my dears. Daisies for weeks. There was a lady in Louisiana when I was a graduate student who grew nothing but daisies. She had a very neat, small, cottagey type front yard, and the daisies grew on 3 sides. It turned out, I found out later on, that she paid her expenses for about half the year from the daisies that she sold to the florist down the street because they were the most beautiful things you've ever seen. She grew two different varieties, one for earlier and one for later in the daisy season. Well, now, thanks to our friend Peaches Patrick, we've got four varieties to recommend. I'm already pretty well have grown two of these and a third one that I like, but I'm going to try these other two, and I think you might want to as well. May Queen is the first to bloom. It is one of the oxeye daisies. They are the native daisies, so it has a little bit longer stem, a little bit smaller flower. It's a very, very tough plant, but May Queen is a selection of that, so it is a little bit fancier. Okay, it's a pretty flower and very reliable in its bloom as well as its stem. Coming after that is Snow Lady, which I've not grown yet, but I've just ordered some seeds for. After that is Alaska, which I grew once, maybe a long time ago. And then Becky. Becky blooms last in this group, and it's the one that we almost all grow because that's the one we find in the garden center so easily. There are more of them, though. Crazy Daisy is one of my very, very favorites, and I'll tell you why. It makes a really crazy-looking flower, and it will stand out in any cut flower arrangement that you put it in. Consider the daisies. Consider the succession, and stick around. We'll be right back.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right.
I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
We have one voice, the voice of agriculture. We have one job, growing the products you need every day. We have one mission, fighting for agriculture and rural Mississippi. We have you in mind, caring for your private property rights. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
When a woman
Ellie in Florence has a really good question. The water in the hose is really cold. What about those greenhouse plants? Yes, it's true. And on a gray day, there's not too much you can do about it. It's very helpful to lay it in the aisle. For instance, if your greenhouse has a concrete walk in the middle of it or a path that's somehow in more sun than the benches would be, I have been known to take the hose and just sort of wind it along that path long enough for the sunlight to warm up the hose, and that in turn helps get the first part of the water to be a little warmer, and it works a little bit better. You can also put water into a container that is dark and leave that in your greenhouse for a day or so to help it warm up a little bit. It doesn't affect most plants, but it certainly will affect seedlings, and it will affect things like gisneriads or African violets or things that have fuzzy leaves. Cold water often spots them, and that's a problem. So just something else to consider. Good question, though. Very, very good question. I want to talk to you about varieties of vegetables. We all have access to a whole boatload of seed catalogs and a whole boatload of information that comes through. I don't know if you ever order one seed from anywhere, The next thing you know, you're getting ads in all of your social media for more seeds, some from that same company, some from the same seed, but from a different company, and then a whole bunch of other seeds. It's really not a bad idea to take a look at those things. But I want you to understand that the reason why we have lists of recommended varieties for a particular area, for a particular vegetable in particular, especially vegetables, but sometimes flowers too, is simply because they grow better here. There's two categories of recommendations that I go with. One is whatever the cooperative extension in your immediate area says is recommended. For example, you may not find a whole lot of other choices besides golden wax beans, but you're going to find a boatload of green bean choices. And depending on what kind of bean you want, whether you want a pencil pod or a broad bean or different green beans that you can grow, you're going to be looking for a variety that has been tried in your area. That helps with All America Selections do help with that. Those are some things, for example, that will have been grown at Crystal Springs in this, here in the center of Zone 8. There's also All America Selections gardens all over the place that you can refer to for what grew in the sort of zone where you are and help you understand which one it is. Contender bean has been classic forever and ever because it grows in 7, 8, and 9. But there are some newer varieties of beans that will actually make more beans per cluster. And for those of us who grow in containers and for those of us who grow in smaller space gardens, that's really a benefit. For those kind of recommendations, I go to the seed company that I have been doing business with. It might be Johnny's, it might be Renee's, it might be, I don't know, whoever you like. But the point is, you can look in that, you've gotten there and had success, so go there for other suggestions. There's a third suggestion, though, that not enough people really think about, and that's what's your neighbor growing. If you're lucky enough to have somebody next to you that grows tomatoes, and you want to know which ones will grow in your neighborhood, talk about the smallest microclimate, go ask them what variety it is. Now, let me just tell you that some gardeners are like some chefs. Oh, I don't know. Just whichever one was at the garden center. They know which one it is. Just press them a little bit. Don't be ugly, but press them. Ask them which garden center. You can go there and see which tomato it was. But the point is
that, yeah, when old John comes in here, what's he buying?
Exactly. And it's just like a chef may forget to tell you that there's a half a teaspoon of salt in there. But there are sometimes it's not intentional. Sometimes it is. A lot of people would rather you think that tomato just grew, you know, because they were such a good gardener. It does have something to do with the variety, though. And to that point, my main emphasis in this is to talk to you about lettuce today. Both leaf lettuce and head lettuce can grow in the Deep South. But head lettuce, you know, like iceberg, the one with the firm insides that you purchase at the grocery, are not as easy in the garden. Our conditions are just not as good as Michigan or Ohio for that kind of consistent, listen to me, cold weather that it takes. Not freezing cold, but consistent weather. So that's a different thing, too. But because we do start our plants oftentimes for lettuce at this time of the year, you're going to be seeing some things on the garden center racks or in your orders that you place that you may or may not have gotten before. So I'm going to tell you a couple of my favorites. I want you to grow a bib type. And if you do, I want you to grow Buttercrunch because it is so easy to grow. It has a delightful quality to it. It was bred at Cornell, but it grows all over the United States. And it is a really slightly crisp but very, very tender leaf. That one combined with classic leaf lettuces makes a really nice textural difference in the salad that you're going to eat from this. And if you further like even stiffer greens, you're going to want to add a romaine. So with a bib type or a buttercrunch, something that's a little bit softer, you can grow some of those. What it would be, for example, Roseanne is real popular. Buttercrunch is real, real popular. And you might go into something like Adriana if you just particularly want a butterhead. Those are nice. They're a little bit richer tasting sometimes. And that one is fairly heat tolerant. That doesn't mean you can grow it in the summer, but it does mean that you have a better chance of getting it into the springtime. I like starfighter leaf type lettuces, but there's a whole bunch of them. try the ones that your neighbor grows, try the ones that your garden center supplies as plants, and also that your favorite seed company suggests for your region. You'll have some good success with that, and you will find that, yes, indeed, it's easy enough to grow lettuce, and it's something you probably ought to do. All right? All right. Corinne's in Jackson. She's got the smaller magnolia, Little Jim, I think is the name of that one. And the branches are growing too far out in the pathway between the neighbor and her. Is this the right time? Yes, you can do that side branch pruning in the middle of the winter. That is as dormant as that tree is going to get. And in fact, it will look prettier if it's a slightly more conical shape. Don't go too far at the bottom. Let it stay as wide as it can at the bottom. But when those other branches come out up toward the top, help that go back into a slightly conical shape. It will be really, really pretty. Really, really lovely. Let's see. Paula's got something else going on. Oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. I'll have to tell you about that later. I thought she was going to tell me about it, but she didn't. We will, as we get garden events, it is impossible for me to put them all up anywhere at the moment, but I'm happy to pass them along to you if you bring them to me, okay? Thank you very much. Yes, I do pick out my music. I appreciate that. Now, I have to tell you that today, because the music's in my world, Lance picked out what we were going to hear at which individual time. He's really nice. I'm much more pickier about combining styles and females and males and, you know, guitar serious ones with vocal serious ones. But he has better taste than I do. So he does it from fun.
Thank you, but no, I don't agree.
But yes, I picked the music itself, and that's a good thing too. That's a very, very good thing. Talking about those daisies. Now, listen, I want to let y'all know about a couple of things. First is that when you start something like that from seed, I was thinking about leeks yesterday, but it really applies to the daisies too. When you get them to come up, they're going to be thick, thick, thick. You have to thin them. You will get wimpy daisy stems, and you will not get leeks at all if you don't remember to thin those things before you. And that's a good reason for starting them in a flat and lifting them out to where you want them to grow. That can make a big difference. Who's on the phone?
We have Jesse and Raymond. He had a couple questions and comments for you.
Ah, hey, Jesse, what's going on today?
Okay, I need your help with two things. Number one is this Meyer lemon that wants to bloom in February.
Yeah.
It's still got a couple of lemons from last year hanging on to it, and I know I need to prune it. So I need some tips on pruning it. And number two is jopai weed. You've talked about it every now and then, and I've got a couple of places that keep water enough that I think I can keep it going here.
Mm-hmm.
And I planted some seeds. I know I've got some roots coming, but in the meantime, I planted the seeds. So Meyer lemon and Joe Pye.
Okay. Well, Meyer lemon does oftentimes bloom in the winter. And yeah, you're supposed to prune it after you take the fruit off and before it blooms, but oh well. The good news is, unless it's got branches that are going to poke you in the eye or hurt something, or it's way more on one side than the other, they don't have to be pruned. I pruned my lemon when I brought it indoors because it had two branches that stuck out way too far on one side, and I just wanted to go ahead and even it up. But I had already picked all the fruit off of it, so now it's starting to put on buds, and it's going to bloom. They bloom as long as it's not really freezing cold. They're going to try and bloom in the winter. And yes, even in Raymond, it's not as cold as the Meyer, as would hurt the Meyer. Now, mine is in the other reason that I put mine into a container and protect it a little bit is so that when those flowers come, they don't get hurt, because that's really the vulnerable part.
I would put in a container and inside.
Good. So, well, then just enjoy the smell.
Take the fruit off.
Enjoy the smell. And enjoy, yeah, you know, okay. And the fruit doesn't have to get completely yellow before you eat it. So that's,
yeah,
that the yellow lemons that we see in for sale places are, well, sometimes they turn yellow on their own. Sometimes they turn yellow on their own, and sometimes they're assisted in turning yellow a little more quickly. But you don't have to wait for that. And I mean, I would say this is the only thing you need to think about at this point, really, if it doesn't have to be pruned, is to give it a low dose of citrus fertilizer just so that those flowers can hang on. Does that help?
Okay, well, I do have to pollinate it by hand, which is okay.
Yeah,
in the butt.
I do that.
But I can do that. And
I can be the bee. Come on, we can all be the bee.
I want to be the bee.
Exactly.
I buzz when I do it. I just
truly
make buzzing sounds.
Joe Pye Weed is pretty easy. Are the seedlings up yet?
No. I planted them, and they said it needs cold stratification, so I've got them outside. And I figured that would do it. Okay.
That'll do it. I would look for, it takes usually 14 days or more. It's kind of like, have you ever grown larkspur? It's sort of that same notion.
No,
in other words, it needs the cold to come up, and then it needs it to be chilly, but not, if we go back into ice, then they have to come up again, kind of, you know. So it's not 100% on the first sprout, but you'll get them. As long as they're not where the, if you baby them too much, they eventually don't come up at all, or they eventually, when you transplant them, they have a really rough time. Joe Pye Weed is more easy to get established if you start with that, the notion that it's got to be cold for it. So I think you're on the right track.
Great. Wish me luck.
All right. Make a lemon meringue pie and send me a picture.
I'll send you a piece.
Oh, that sounds good. Bye-bye. Thanks, Jesse. Talk to you soon. All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
You know, there's so many fun things. I've been listening to Joe Lample lately, and he is one of my strongest one of the most biggest influences, I guess, in my professional world. And if you don't pay attention to him, by all means, just search him up on a moment when you have a little time. J-O-E is his first name, and Lample is his last name, L-A-M-P apostrophe L. He is today trying to get me to organize my seeds. And it's not going to happen, but it's a great system. If I was slightly more organized about it, I would, in fact, follow his words on it. He also does a couple of other things. He does a really, really good series of lectures, webinars, that kind of thing, and that's really a lot of fun. Well, it finally arrived, y'all. It's the prescription. That's right. Whiskey, 1 teaspoon. Lemon juice, 1 teaspoon. Honey, 1 tablespoon. But you can also add in lemon. You can also add in peppermint. Today's hot toddy day.
Yeah, and that comes from a pediatric doctor.
It
I love it.
Yes,
that's
it.
My
does.
Mamaw must have been a pediatric doctor, because I know that recipe.
Yes,
very
indeed.
Well.
My cousin sent that, and it was all over the internet because it's such a common thing in this part
she
of the
would
world.
She put a whole bag of hard peppermints in there in the mason jar, shake it up until they dissolved.
Yeah,
and then use whiskey, lemon juice, and honey.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of whiskey.
My dad did that. He was not a drinker. In fact, he this was the only reason he thought whiskey should have been invented was for cough.
Yeah, she was a teetotaler. She didn't drink.
Yeah,
it was
just
the cough syrup, though.
It was a cough syrup. And in fact, it does work, y'all, but be careful if you drive.
don't operate machinery, climb ladders, use loppers or anything.
Don't do any of that. But it is hot toddy day. And hot toddies, of course, are, well, I mean, it's not just Ole Miss. I never want to say just Ole Miss, because y'all are so, you know, he'll turn the microphone off if I talk like that. But we think of it as a drink that is enjoyed in that setting, but it's in fact a drink that is enjoyed all across the South, but especially if you have a head cold. And it's putting the peppermint in it, I think, is the 20th century addition to it.
Well, you got, you know, Friday is Bittersweet Chocolate Day, Household Plant Appreciation Day, and then today is National Hot Toddy, National Milk Day, and then also National Pharmacist Day. So if you combine all those, like Dave and I were talking, yeah, you're going to be calling the pharmacist, but that's all right.
Be careful with that. Dave always has good suggestions, good ideas about it. Ringo Starr has some good ones, too. We'll be right back.
To tell us what to do. I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you. In an octopus's garden with you.
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWGEmployerServices.com.
Think of all the comforts your family enjoys around your home. When you include propane appliances throughout your home, you can have even greater comfort, from endless hot water to softer clothing and cozier heat on cold winter days. With an all-propane home, you'll also enjoy greater efficiency and energy savings compared to all-electric homes. Go to PERC.com and ask why propane. The answer will be clear. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit MSPropane.com.
You know what rah-rahs are?
What is a rah-rah?
But you know what a living bra is.
A what? I just know of what a bra is.
That's right. Well, that was a brand.
Okay.
And it was Cross Your Heart.
Oh, the Cross. I remember the commercials that Cross Your Heart.
Exactly. Well, your new rah-rahs are your saddle Oxford shoes. They were black and white.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
That's what a rah-rah is.
Well, you know,
because cheerleaders wore them.
Yeah, they did.
At that time,
yeah.
It was called rah-rahs.
The, you know, I'm a fan of the squirrel nut zippers.
Yes, indeed.
Right.
In fact, who's not?
Yeah. Now, I mean, Monday, since, you know, this, we talk a little music and good stuff, there was a guy named Stephen Foster.
Yes.
Yeah, he passed away quite a few years ago, born 1826. Passed 1864 at the age of 37. He became known as the father of American music, wrote over 200 songs, best-known composition, Oh, Susanna, mm-hmm. and then Camp Town Races.
Yes.
Old Folks at Home and Old Kentucky Home, Jeannie, Light Brown Hair, Old Joe Black, bunch of them. But there's a song that the Squirrel Nut Zippers do called The Ghost of Stephen Foster. And it's set to the cartoons and all that, and it goes through, I mean, it's really great song. It's kind of weird, but
yes,
I wanted
indeed.
To mention
there was
that.
A lot about Stephen Foster that was quite a bit untoward.
But if you haven't heard that one,
let's call it untoward.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorite
I
terms.
Love that word. I use it all the time. But I'd wanted to mention that, because Monday being Stephen Foster Day, you might want to celebrate with a little
squirrel nut zippers. Come on, you know. Now, of course, as it moved forward, Irving Berlin took on that mantle as mm-hmm. if you absolutely want to knock me down, just put on some of his stuff.
No, Irv.
And, you know, and off we go. I mean, come on.
Well, we got to cut some Irv up.
We're going to do that. It's on my list. I have the song list, the songs I never play.
Yeah, you keep threatening
and
me with
Irving
that.
Irving Berlin's in there.
Yeah,
you've been a little bit busy.
I'm never too busy for you. Come on.
Listen at that, y'all. Don't believe him, but
we did get Tutankhamun ramen the other day.
We did do that.
Man,
that was
fun. Good stuff.
Was good.
I needed some heat in my life. You
it
know?
Was good.
I've been spicing up lately, but that's always nice to get a little bit more mm-hmm. boost.
It was even spicier later when I had the
other
half.
Yeah, it seems that worked that way,
it was
right?
Good. You know? Love all that. I love that the idea that the chef makes his own sriracha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, what do you make the? How do you get it to the rice? Oh, he makes his own sriracha, and that's a chef specialty. He's not going to tell you. Like you were saying earlier, it's what you know made me think.
Some chefs will tell you. Some won't.
This one's not going to tell you.
It's not going to tell you.
Trade secret.
This is a good one. I'm liking this from Deb in Wesson. Hot black tea, not orange pico blend, not the blend. Okay. Also peppermint schnapps, and add those to your cough syrup.
The peppermint schnapps was always fun. You know, there was the you had peach and
peach
you had peppermint,
schnapps,
and that was always sitting around at camp. You know, there'd be a bottle of the old brown bottle, the peach and the old really the Dr. Kuiper's version. And that
oh
would,
my goodness!
And that would be sitting around, and I remember, you know, I'd get to about that age where I'm like, all right, I think I'm going to take a cap full. You know, and go hunting.
And you were surprised.
Oh, I was like, that'd warm you up, buddy.
All the
you
way know? To your toes.
This is liquor?
Sure.
Oh, my
for
goodness.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll tell you my very favorite joke from one of my dearest friends in my life, my rabbi from when my children were babies, said, okay, the thing you have to give parents when they have a baby is peppermint schnapps. You think, what are you going to, the baby peppermint? No. The parent takes that, and then they can calm down and do everything else they need to do. So the peppermint schnapps was not for the baby, I promise.
Yeah. Back in those old days, though, they would take a little whiskey and rub it on the gums. But
we have seen that for teething. Mm-hmm. Yes, we have. That was before we understood about frozen.
And that baby all of a sudden started smiling.
Yeah,
and
frozen
to go
bananas
out,
actually
go
work
out
better.
Dancing and everything. My Greg, baby can dance.
Greg wants to know if there's any advice on planting 2-gallon pomegranates in Zone 8, Yazoo County. Yes, sir. Plant two at least. Plant them 10 feet apart, no more. You can fudge that a little bit, 12 feet, 8 feet. Okay, I'm all right with that. But you want them to be within proximity of each other, not across the yard from one another is the point, because they do. You will get a whole lot more pomegranates if they can pollinate each other. They are self-fruitful, but they're not going to do as well alone. The other thing about them is that pomegranates are not a native tree, so you need to make sure that your soil drains well and also can hold organic matter. So dig a hole, pour water in it. If it doesn't drain away in half an hour, you need to amend it for better drainage. If it rushes away, you need to amend it so that it won't drain so fast.
When you're in a place like Yazoo City and or Yazoo County, even, that has a couple of different, you know, extremely different terrains. You got the flat ground, and then you got the hills. Is there a difference in the soil in the alluvium than down on the plain?
There is, absolutely. And there's also a difference depending on where you live in what they trucked in to make your lot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one reason why you have to test your own drainage. But generally speaking, we have heavier soils in that part of the world than other places. At the same time, though, they're mineral rich. Mm-hmm. They're vibrant soils. They're greatly alive. It's not like trying to plant something, excuse me, in Oklahoma, you know, where the Dust Bowl happened. We've got strong, wonderful soil. We just have to accommodate that one little thing, because we don't want them to sit in water. That's another reason why I appreciated Jesse saying that about an area where it stays kind of wet. Joe Pye can do that space for you. And there are many things that can, but unless you think about it, you don't necessarily make the right choices.
Well, Bubba is on top of it this morning. Looks like he's got a great bottle of the schnapps, the peach
version. I think he's ready for
us. The ones we had were the ones that you could fit in your jacket pocket, you know, back in those old days.
Bubba's more generous.
Yeah, that's more.
We will be
more
there.
More is better.
Shortly.
More is better. A nice little apple Danish or something to go with that.
Oh, man. I'm telling you. Bowl of gumbo, off we go.
Yeah, I mean, that'll go good with anything there.
Anything
not the gumbo. I mean, the gumbo is always good, but the peach schnapps.
Definitely. No question about it. I'm only going to say this one time, and it is almost the end of the show. Today is also Cigarettes Are Hazardous to Your Health Day. And as somebody who doesn't smoke cigarettes or tobacco in any form, I want to encourage you to find alternatives, too. Now, not you personally.
Alternative universe.
But you personally, yes, a whole other universe.
Live there in my head.
I'm very happy to tell you, I'm a fan of Princeton University anyway, and the engineering school there is showing us that soil bacteria can actually, as we knew, but we now have the proof, influences the plant's growth and also its ability to defend itself. The bacteria produce an enzyme which we have now identified that can lower the plant's immune activity and allow its roots to grow faster and stronger than they would otherwise. Well, I'm looking for that in a bottle. What about you?
Yeah,
you know, it'll be a few years, I think, before we can get any, but I do like the idea.
Hey, before we exit stage left, Guy in Brookhaven had a picture of some cedars, and he says, they're being attacked. Help. I've seen that before, and I am curious what is going on there.
It's
crowding?
It can be drought, but it can also be spider mites.
Ah.
And what you need to do is get out to there and put a piece of white paper underneath one of the branches that's browned and hit it. And when the dust settles on the paper, if the dust moves, you have spider mites, and then you know what your problem is. But until then, you don't know if it's roots or if it's too much wind or, you know, it could be any number of things. But something is slowing it down. That tree should be doing well here and ordinarily would be. But Brookhaven's had some interesting weather the last couple of years. Y'all had the drought just like everything, but y'all also had some serious wet spaces. And if there's that inconsistency, maybe attributable to this problem, but it could also be that they became vulnerable and thus got spider mites.
And then the lime tree, Paula, at your house. Oh my God, it was beautiful. I loved all that fruit. It was growing
fun
when
stuff,
it was pretty,
fun
wasn't
stuff.
It?
It's really been good. You don't need two of each of those. They are self-pollinating, and in fact, you want to put them on opposite sides of the porch just because they're so very individually involved.
They'd
in
be
themselves.
Competing banjos.
Well, that's how we got Meyer Lemon, of course, is because they cross, but we don't necessarily want them to do that. We're out of time, sir. Thanks for all y'all's texts today and your phone calls. It's just such a joy. Thank you very, very much. See you next week.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
Joe Montana here.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media production.